Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 36,035 total cases, 610 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 27 students, 4 staff. Midland County, 35,220 total cases, 445 deaths. Texas, 6,300,033 total cases, 79,699 deaths. U.S. cases, 75,302,383 total confirmed, and 888,784 deaths. Find out more at COVIDinthebasin.com. MCH COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Wednesday. 76 COVID patients in-house. Med-surge non-critical, 58 COVID patients. Critical care, 18 COVID patients, 12 unvaccinated, 3 vaccinated, 3 unknown. 12 COVID patients on ventilator. 8 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 3 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 3 years old to 98 years old. COVID patients from outside Ector County, 1 from Albuquerque, New Mexico, 1 from Andrews, 1 from Balch Springs, 1 from Balmoray, 1 from Gardendale, 1 from Imperial, 1 from McCamey, 1 from Mentone, 6 from Midland. Quick hits. Outstanding Citizens of the Year Luncheon. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will honor Medical Center Health System and Odessa Regional Medical Center professionals at the 2021 Outstanding Citizens of the Year Luncheon from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. For more information, call Lynn Van Amberg at 432-333-7862. Film Series. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a film series event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. The PBS series, The Black Church, will be played in 4 segments to celebrate Black History Month. The event happens every Thursday of February. Today, Episode 1, The Freedom Faith. February 10th, Episode 2, A Nation Within a Nation. February 17th, Episode 3, God Will Make a Way. February 24th, Episode 4, Crisis of Faith. For more information about this event, call 432-550-9696. Town Halls. Ector County Judge Candidate Dustin Fawcett has scheduled town halls at 6 p.m. at the following dates and locations. Today, Gardendale Community Center, 4226 East Larkspur Lane, Gardendale. Tuesday, South Ector Community Center, 4455 West Apple Street. For more information, email Dustin at dustinfawcett.com. Comedy Night. Comedy Night has been scheduled at 7:30 p.m. today at Cactus House, 114 East 29th Street. Featured entertainment will be presented by Jenny Moore and Veterans of Comedy members Chris Crawford, Mike Shield, and Isaac Gutierrez. Admission is $10 at the door, BYOB with ID. Charlotte's Web Auditions. Basin Theater Works has scheduled auditions for Charlotte's Web from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. today, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, and from 6:30 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. Monday at the Permian Playhouse, 310 West 42nd Street. Callbacks will be from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday. All kiddos and young adults from elementary school to college ages are invited to be a part of the show. Show will run April 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 29th, 30th, and May 1st. This show is directed by Sarah Kate Billingsley and stage managed by Julie Prentice. Feel free to bring a prepared monologue if you have one. Do not worry if you have nothing prepared. We will have monologues available for a cold read. Keeping the Lights On. Join Beto has scheduled Keeping the Lights On, a statewide drive for a brighter Texas at 6:30 p.m. Friday at McKinney Park, 625 West Poole Road. To request ASL interpretation, email info@betofortexas.com at least 48 hours before the event begins. Bring a chair if you need to sit. There is no seating at this location. The only restrooms available are portable restrooms. By attending this event, attendees understand and accept the risks associated with COVID-19 and agree to follow Beto for Texas's instructions. Early voting. Early voting runs from February 14th to February 25th for the March 1st primary. Voters are welcome to call the elections office for location information. The Odessa office may be reached at 498-4030 and the Midland office at 688-4890. You may also visit the webpage for the early voting schedules, election day vote centers, and sample ballots. Ector, tinyurl.com/YCKTP6D3. Midland, tinyurl.com/YC4U3BRH. Secretary of State, sos.state.tx.us. Economic Development welcomes new department director. The Odessa Chamber welcomed Tom Mansky as its new director of economic development Wednesday. Mansky has more than 30 years of economic development, chamber management experience, having worked in numerous communities in East and Central Texas, including Round Rock, Palestine, and Rockwall, as well as in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Mansky's knowledge of promoting regional prosperity through economic development, as well as organizational management, public advocacy, and community development, will allow him to jump right into this new position and elevate the Chamber's Economic Development Department to the next level, a news release said. Mansky is a graduate of Texas State University with a degree in Urban Planning Geography. He is also a graduate of the Institute for Organizational Management at Southern Methodist University and the Economic Development Institute at Oklahoma University. We look forward to having Tom as part of our chamber team. His decades of knowledge and experience, along with his friendly and outgoing personality, will be a great fit in our community. He will work well with existing businesses to help them grow and also be very welcoming to potential businesses looking to make Odessa their new home. Renee Earls, President CEO of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said in a news release. Mansky and his wife, Stephanie, have two grown daughters living in Midland. He started his new role on February 1st. Odessa American Obituaries, published Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. Sylvia L. Clark, Odessa. Sylvia May LeCour Clark, age 97, peacefully died on January 25th, 2022, surrounded by family, which she so dearly loved. She was preceded in death by her beloved husband Hollis 23 years ago, and continued to marshal through as her seven children continued to grow the family tree. She was born August 22, 1924, in Mooreville, Louisiana, to Joseph Wilfred LaCour and Annette Octavie Marcotte on a small farm. She attended Southwest Louisiana University, where she met and married Hollis in 1943. Sylvia is survived by Christina Wright of San Angelo, Minka and Scott Siebert, Holly and Wayne Perkins, Carmen and Mike Randolph, and LaCour Clark, all of Odessa, Robin and Ann Clark of Houston, and Kevin and Carlene Clark of Westminster, Colorado, as well as 16 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. The family would be honored that, in lieu of flowers, a donation be made to the Alzheimer's Association, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Building Fund, or Smile Train. Sylvia will be interred at a private burial in Odessa, followed by a memorial mass and celebration of life at a later date. Nettie Athalia Smith, Odessa. Our loving mother, Nettie Athalia Smith, 97 of Odessa, passed away Saturday, January 22, 2022. Athalia was born in Memphis, Texas, November 15, 1924, to William Marvin Bryant and Ava Pearl Warnick. She graduated from Abernathy High School in May 1942 and married Clarence Edward Jack Smith on September 11, 1943 in San Diego, California. Athalia is survived by her sons, Dennis Smith of Odessa and Neil Smith of Dallas. She is also survived by her grandchildren, Trevor Smith, Brandon Pontramoli, Amy Salazar, Jack Smith, and Kendall Castles, as well as 16 great-grandchildren and several nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her parents, William and Pearl Bryant, husband Jack, sons Jackie, Bill, and Randy, and her grandchildren Sean and Rhiannon, and her 8 brothers and sisters. Funeral services will be held Saturday, February 5th, 2022 at 2 p.m. at Vine Baptist Church, 2200 West 22nd Street in Odessa, followed by burial at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Clayton Ward Smith, Odessa. It is with deep sorrow and much love that we mourn the passing of Clayton Ward Smith. Clayton, 37, was called home Monday, January 24th, 2022. Clay was born on June 23, 1984, in Midland. Clay is survived by his wife, Jennifer Smith, parents, Rodney and Cindy Smith, siblings, Mandy and Sean Piercy, and Stephanie and Jason Womack, plus nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Clay is preceded in death by his grandparents, Billy and Tom Neetert, Pepaw Bill Smith, nephew Cameron Harrow, and cousin Dakota Busby. In Clay's honor, should you feel to make a donation, please consider the Southwest Transplant Alliance Foundation or UT Southwestern Medical Center. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, February 4th, at the branch at NPW. A celebration of his life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, February 5th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices for Thursday, February 3rd. Jesse Bob Fisher, Odessa. Jesse Bob Fisher, 76 of Odessa, died Monday, January 31st in Odessa. Services are scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Alpine Memorial Funeral Home of Alpine. Jimmy Lara, Odessa. Jimmy Lara, 69, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 1st in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. February 4th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Isidro Ponce is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Emma Ramirez, Odessa. Emma Ramirez, 91, died Wednesday, February 2nd in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Virginia Louise Jordan Ritchie, Odessa. Virginia Louise Jordan Ritchie, 94, of Odessa, died Monday, January 31st in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. February 5th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend David Newton is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Carlos Hernandez Sanchez, Jr., Odessa. Carlos Hernandez Sanchez, Jr., 70, died Tuesday, February 1st in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Larry Tucker Smith, Odessa. Larry Tucker Smith, 71, of Odessa, died Friday, January 28th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. February 8th at Highland and Bunch Church of Christ. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Home of Odessa. Demetrio Rivera Valenzuela, Odessa. Demetrio Rivera Valenzuela, 70, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 29th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Thursday, February 3rd at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Carla Jean Waddell, Odessa. Carla Jean Waddell, 81, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 30th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m., Saturday, February 5th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Siria Torres Yanez, Odessa. Siria Torres Yanez, 88, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 29th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Friday, February 4th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 29, 2022. Viewpoints. Questions for the candidates. Why the need to spend tens of millions of dollars on something like a water system, which means there would be no incentive to be annexed by the city? Many people have chosen to leave the city to live out in the county. Why must taxpayers inside the city of Midland help fund the investment that county government is making to bring water to people living in the county? Terry Johnson, County Judge Candidate. County water infrastructure builds strong future for area. With all due respect, the premise of this question is flawed in two ways. First, all Midlanders live in Midland County. That is why I've worked tirelessly with the City of Midland under both former Mayor Jerry Morales and Mayor Patrick Payton to eliminate duplication, share costs of services, and discuss a long-term vision for our region so that all taxpayers in Midland County win. To even ask the question of why taxpayers inside the city limits should help bring water to 1/4 of our total population perpetuates a long-standing rift between the city and the county. But it absolutely misses the second and most important point, the future. In the 1960s, when then-Councilman Ed Magruder led the effort to buy water in another county, I am confident he wasn't worried about why Midlanders would want to spend money in another county. He was thinking about the future. Building water infrastructure in the part of Midland County that is outside of the city limits is about the future. As the single largest producer of the product that fuels our world, efficient mining of oil is not possible without water. Most oil and gas mining in Midland County happens outside of the city limits. If we don't invest in our water infrastructure, the cost of mining oil and gas is much more expensive. Water impacts the viability and strength of the oil and gas economy that our region thrives on. Water is about the future for all Midlanders. Water and sewer infrastructure facilitated 2 decades of commercial development along 191, creating hundreds of jobs. Water infrastructure aided development of North Loop 250, creating Midland's primary retail corridor. This retail corridor generates millions of dollars in sales tax revenue for everyone living in Midland County. Water infrastructure will do the same for South Loop 250. New commercial development with access to water and sewer infrastructure along a new Southern Loop 250 will create more jobs, generate more sales tax revenue, and help keep property taxes low. Water is about the future for all Midlanders. But on a more personal note, people move outside the city limits for many reasons. Schools, the ability to have livestock, peace and quiet, just to name a few. I lived in Greenwood for 15 years and raised a family of 4. Our water supply produced 0.5 gallon per minute. Needless to say, this was not the ideal situation, but a comparable piece of property 1 mile away with a 60-gallon per minute well sold for $110,000. Our home, with less water pressure, sold for $52,000. This was 100% due to the lack of water. For most of us, our home is our single largest investment. Access to a good supply of water can directly affect the value of your property. Water is about the economic future for all Midlanders. We are one Midland. When a Midland County resident who lives outside of the city limits goes to Walmart, they pay city sales tax. This sales tax is used to provide several city services to Midland County residents who live inside the city limits. Should we be asking why money paid by someone living outside the city limits is used to fund projects inside the city limits? Of course not. The taxpayers don't care what pot their money goes in. They simply want the best possible services for the least amount of taxes. They want good conservative leadership focused on building a better future for all Midlanders. This includes water. I'm asking you to re-elect Terry Johnson as your Midland County judge. Promises made, promises kept. Diane Anderson, Precinct 4 candidate. Voters must require vision on water issue. The question assumes tens of millions of dollars will be spent by the county on a county-wide water system, with the result being parts of the county will never be inside the city limits. In other words, there will be some sort of demarcation line beyond which the city can never expand, almost a demilitarized zone. I do not want this. As home building companies develop new additions in Midland County, especially Precinct 4, and the city grows into the county, So does the 3-mile ETJ, extraterritorial jurisdiction, expand into the county, moving the city limits further out, encompassing more and more of what used to be outside the city limits. The city may never swallow the county, but the city will grow. The problem in western Midland County is compounded by growth in Ector County. As Ector County and their ETJ has moved east, the counties effectively already meet in the western part of Midland County. With Midland's growth, both residential and commercial, the once legitimate view of the distinction between Midland County and the city of Midland must be viewed as past and no longer viable. Midland County should have been working with the city of Midland on water, roads, and sanitation issues for decades. To the extent that such does not exist, we must start that planning and cooperation now. Planning will save valuable taxpayer dollars, not solely for the county, but also the city. The question also assumes that City of Midland residents pay taxes to the county, for which they receive no benefit. City of Midland residents benefit in many ways from the taxes they pay to the county. Think Midland County Clerk, the Detention Center, the Elections Office, Small Claims Courts, Midland County Sheriff's Office, etc. As the city expands, it only makes sense to enable that expansion by developing roads, water, and sanitation in conjunction with the county. The future of our Midland community depends largely on roads, water, and sanitation. Requiring everyone outside the city to be responsible for their own systems makes no sense. County's residents are spread over a much wider area than the city of Midland. A county-wide water system is almost too large to envision, but we must tackle this problem. What may be reasonable is construction of a system over a number of years in cooperation with the city of Midland and our surrounding counties, a solution that makes future growth possible without duplicating systems. Given current drought conditions, we also need to have an updated professional study and understanding of the hydrology of the water table that supplies water to the county residents to get a better understanding of the problems we must immediately solve. Planning and coordination with the city and surrounding counties will hopefully benefit our Midland community for another reason. By having a solid, defensible vision for the development of the county, there can be guidelines to avoid random structures in unsightly areas. And as Midland and Odessa continue to grow into each other, we will save money because we won't be using a wasteful patchwork approach to solving common problems. I would like to work with the two counties and the two cities to develop a comprehensive plan for future development of Precinct 4 between Midland and Odessa. By working together, we can pool our resources, which would save taxpayers money. Robin Donnelly, Precinct 2 candidate. County aims to meet needs of all taxpayers with effort. Water in West Texas is important to everyone who lives here. This goes back to Mayor Hank Avery's purchase of the T-Bar Ranch in 1963. Located approximately 70 west of Midland, his belief in the growth of Midland has certainly been validated. Our Commissioner's Court has done their part in bringing water to the city of Midland with the creation of the Midland County Freshwater District No. 1 under state law. The county has the only authority to create this entity. This allows transportation from this remote water field to the city of Midland. Few will remember the water rationing and fear of running out of water during the drought of 2011, which affected all of Texas. The City of Midland has supported the effort for this water security, as seen in our water rates and the renovation of the sewer plant, to be able to use effluent water as makeup rather than fresh water and sell effluent water to the oil companies for fracking. So, cooperating with the City of Midland on providing water itself is not, per se, a disincentive to the expansion or developing of the city. With the city limits extending 1,000 feet on each side of the major highways like State Highway 191, Farm to Market Road 1788, and Interstate 20, the city has a lot of expansion to get services throughout their boundaries. In the northeast area of Midland, roughly east of Big Spring Street north of Loop 250, the city limits are intersecting with the boundaries of the Midland County Utility District, MCUD. Midland County is only peripherally engaged with MCUD, allowing the use of county right-of-way. Because it is a PUC-sanctioned utility, I could see MCUD providing water for expansion of that area and paying the take-or-pay contract amounts to the Colorado Municipal Water District, thereby reducing the cost of water to the taxpayers of the city. With regard to spending money for water to be provided to county residents, it is a need for the taxpayers in the county. The commissioners see addressing the needs of all taxpayers as a paramount responsibility and as a requirement of their office. Many county residents are running out of water from their wells and are hauling necessary amounts from fresh water suppliers in the city. MCUD has indicated that there are funds and grants to supply water in the county if MCUD could identify a water source. The county has that water source in the Roark Ranch. As to developing the field, the county has the funds through ARPA to develop the field, but not the financial wherewithal to transport it. The commissioners believe that we could only do this if it is made financially viable for the county to do so. The original thought is that additional throughput on the pipeline of the Freshwater District would accelerate the paydown of the pipeline currently shouldered by taxpayers in the city, while providing for taxpayers in the county. Recover of the funds and repayment of the investment for developing and transporting water from the Roark field will have to be addressed in order to allow sharing resources with other taxing entities. All this should be done without continued maintenance of any of the system by the county. That is wholly the responsibility of MCUD. In conclusion, the county should not be in the water delivery business. The needs of all the citizens of the county will be addressed if fiscally and equitably possible. Charles Hall, Precinct 4 candidate. Potable water is a society standard. Clean, drinkable water is a reasonable standard in our society. The county has grant funds that will pay for more than 90% of the water project. We, as commissioners, need to work with the water district to oversee the installation of the water system to assure that this is completed with fiscal responsibility. Annexation cannot take place without a group going to city administration with that request. Questions to come. February 5. We have heard a lot about 3-2 votes keeping people from accomplishing certain goals. What will you do to keep county government headed in a positive direction, even if you fall on the wrong side of 3-2 votes? February 12. Is it your expectation that Midland County will have to hold a bond election to build a new jail, a law enforcement complex, or have another election to raise the sales tax to raise more revenue for county government? How big must county government get to operate effectively? Would you commit to not holding an election that raises taxes for the next 4 years? Randy Prude, Precinct 4 candidate. County residents can form own tax entities. Midland County residents who live outside the city limits have suffered significant losses of both water volume and water quality. Groundwater tables have been and are continuing to be significantly affected by fracking needs by our incredibly important oil companies and by nature's severe drought of recent times. The City Council currently and in the past has wisely decided not to provide water outside of its city limits. People who choose the freedoms provided to live in the county have always known this and are not complaining. They are, however, in dire straits and will be out of water in the near future, if not already. Knowing this predicament, your commissioners wisely chose to purchase an underground water field adjacent to and equal in volume 50 years of supply to the city's field in Winkler County in hopes of bringing that water to our country family one day and hopefully using the existing pipeline that was built almost miraculously by a large number of amazing groups and elected officials. Negotiations are underway, and we have hired one of the state's leading water rights specialists to guide us through the process ASAP. I don't intend to use property taxes to bring water to the three points of delivery we have identified, but rather using new sources of funds, such as ARPA, or swift state and federal assistance. Wherever the funding comes from, the county residents will form their own taxing entities and pay for water and infrastructure, just like city residents have always done. Last but not least, the county tax base created by this crucial water event will be very significant and help keep city residents' property taxes lower than they otherwise would be. Jonna Smoot, County Judge Candidate. County must make sure all residents have clean water. In 2022, it is almost unfathomable that not all of the residents in a resource-rich community such as Midland County have a reliable and fresh water source. Clean, fresh, and reliable running water not only powers Midland County homes, but also its businesses. This access to water is what will ensure that Midland County is able to continue its path on becoming the best place to live, work, and stay while in Texas. While living in the county does provide a lower tax bill for those residents because of them not having to pay city property taxes, many are discouraged from opening a business in the county due to the well water quality. Many Midland City residents also have a business in Midland County and choose to do so in part because of the lower property tax burden to their business. But having a lower tax rate should not mean the taxpayer is not able to have reliable access to what is a basic necessity. Though it may seem unreasonable that a portion of the burden should be borne by citizens who do not directly benefit from the end result, water in the county, all Midlanders benefit from an enhanced standard of living for county residents. In the long run, tens of millions of dollars in needed improvements is paid for not only by citizens, but also by the businesses that operate within the county. Much of the infrastructure to get water to county residents and businesses are already in place through the tremendous efforts of previous Midland City Councils, Midland County Commissioners' Courts, the Midland County Fresh Water District, and through the Midland County Utility District, MCUD, which is a special law district created under Section 59, Article 16, Texas Constitution, and confirmed by voters of the district in May of 2013. The purpose of the district is to serve the public and to accomplish a water control and improvements district. In 2019, laws were passed in Texas strictly reining in the ability of a city, such as Midland, to annex properties. Elections must be held, and these are time-consuming processes and often polarize a community on an issue meant to unite it. To force the residents of Midland County, many of whom spend their discretionary income inside the city, to do without a reliable source of good water is a waste of time and a waste of the work already put in trying to address the problem. Midland County must ensure that all of the residents, both homeowners and business owners, have reliable access to potable water. Midland County is a resilient community, and solidifying these conversations surrounding long-term infrastructure, growth, and economic security, in part via a safe county water source, is something that simply must happen. Access to potable water to meet the future water demands of Midland County benefits all of Midland's population. Conversely, water provided to county residents could be a future revenue source. Midland County will charge a fee per gallon of water, which will become a source of repayment of the cost of the initial infrastructure, which includes the Winkler County water field. Once the repayment is complete, the fee will be a source of income that will offset any future infrastructure costs, and any remaining revenue will go into Midland County's general fund. In this way, the county residents will take on a larger share of the cost, and that portion will not be borne by city residents. While it may not seem to be a simple solution to have the city of Midland and the county of Midland work together in mind, spirit, and pocketbook to bring fresh water to the county, it is also not rocket science. The water district has been formed, the water is available, the technology is available, and all of Midland County, including the city, stands to benefit from making fresh water available to the county. Now, all we have to do is get the entities involved willing to commit to move forward on this long-term solution that will benefit all of Midland. My name is Jonna Smoot. I am asking for your vote to be your next Midland County judge, and I am honored to have been able to provide my opinion on the question of the future of Midland County's water. Jeff Sommers, Precinct 2 candidate. Bringing good water source to county is right thing to do. To answer this question, let's look at the two issues included in this question: annexation of property and funding a safe water supply. First of all, people that move into the county want to live there for several reasons. They do not want to be annexed into the city. Maybe you have horses, cattle, or other animals you would like to raise. Maybe your kids want to participate in 4-H or FFA and get the experience of raising and nurturing their animals on a daily basis. Inside the city limits, for the most part, prohibits people from doing this. I understand all the reasons the city has these restrictions, therefore a reason for people to move to the county. Space is another reason folks move into the county. Acreage for their animals is essential for the well-being of larger farm and ranch animals and gives the resident adequate space for things such as growing a garden or maybe growing hay for animals, outdoor events such as ropings, rodeos, play days, etc. Larger acreage and space are needed for these activities, and people love the opportunities to take advantage of these activities outside the city limits. Second, there are several avenues for funding a county water line where the city isn't negatively affected. Millions of dollars of federal grant monies have already been secured and received by the county. These funds can only be used for a county water line or a project similar in scope to supplying county water to the residents. Additional grant funds may be available. The county would need to charge trunk fees of some type to tie a county water line to homes in the county, and each homeowner would be charged for their specific water usage. This would generate additional revenue to subsidize the building of the water line. I do think larger companies in the Permian Basin would possibly participate in the construction and cost of these water lines to assist the community in need. In addition, I believe the county could be a customer to the city of Midland and purchase water from a city-supplied water source. Obviously, this would benefit the city with additional revenue as opposed to costing the city millions of dollars, as suggested in the question. Let the county leaders team up with the city leaders to get this done. County residents work, play, and spend money in the city, therefore generating tax dollars for the city. This is an entire community, not county and city divided. I believe we need to treat all residents of this community with respect and provide the vital services needed, such as a safe, supplied, good, consistent water source. Third, if the city decided to annex additional property in the county, the city would then need to spend the money to add additional city water lines throughout the newly annexed property. Therefore, monies will be spent either way. I believe there is absolutely no reason for the city to consider any additional annexation of properties in the county at this time or in the foreseeable future. The county is 90% complete with the design and overall plan to bring water to the area. Let's get the additional 10% completed ASAP. I have lived outside the city limits for almost 16 years, and we have seen no progress with this issue. We have seen people of this community without water for days during the freeze of last spring. That was a tragic time and put residents in very difficult and life-threatening positions. Hundreds and maybe thousands of additional homes are in the process of being constructed, and each will need water. There are just so many straws you can stick in the ground until the cup finally runs dry. Let's do the right thing and bring a good water source to this community now.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, January 30th. This is the opinion page. This column is called Guest View. It is entitled Water in Energy Conference Grows Our Workforce by Michelle Harmon. Michelle Harmon is the University of Texas Permian Basin faculty member and a PBWIEC executive board member. The 2022 Permian Basin Water in Energy Conference, PBWIEC, is almost here. After more than a year of planning and preparing, the fourth edition of the PBWIEC will spring to life February 23rd and 24th, 2022, at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena. I'm looking forward to this important event as a faculty member of the University of Texas Permian Basin, a PBWIEC executive board member, and an original volunteer. The central focus of the conference is water and its use throughout the oil and gas production process. That topic alone is paramount right now in the energy industry. Yet the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference is even bigger than that focus, as it also helps bolster our future energy workforce by providing opportunity to UT Permian Basin students. The PBWIEC is a program of the University of Texas Permian Basin. It was founded in 2017 with the help of several UT Permian Basin deans and faculty members, past and present, and Jim Woodcock, the CEO of Midland Portfolio Partners and JJW Oil and Gas. The conference idea sprung from Jim's long-standing experience in the energy industry and staunch commitment to future sustainability. Jim continues to serve as the PBWIEC Executive Board President. The conference would not be here today without Jim's leadership and dedication. The PBWIEC is housed at UTPB's Shepherd Leadership Institute, with Kate Williamson, the Executive Director of the Shepherd Leadership Institute, and Shelby Landgraf, the Director of Community Engagement, pouring their talents and time into the event as well. There is no better way to learn from energy experts, contribute to the education of our workforce, and support our Permian Basin economy than for you to participate in this event. All proceeds raised from the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference return to UT Permian Basin. Thus, by purchasing your PBWIEC registration, you're broadening your industry knowledge and supporting the future of our region and its workforce in both direct and indirect ways. As a columnist for Permian Basin Oil and Gas magazine, I often write about the shortage of workers across the Permian Basin and country. The Great Resignation is happening, and we need to backfill the vacant positions of both degreed and non-degreed positions. UT Permian Basin students will be volunteering at the conference and are excited to network with attendees. What an excellent way for industry professionals to meet potential future employees. In addition, students have the opportunity to present their own research in the field of energy and water through the annual student poster competition. Elevation Resources and its CEO Steve Pruitt are generously sponsoring this portion of the conference. Scholarship prizes totaling $6,000 will be awarded to six students across two categories, undergraduates and graduate students. For more information or to enter the PBWIEC student poster competition, please email jbs@utpb.edu. As for your professional development or that of your business, the conference offers the chance to learn new practices and stay on top of cutting-edge technology supporting the oil and gas industry, particularly for those interested in upskilling themselves and critical staff. Attracting and hiring outside talent takes time and money. Help retain your best staff by supporting them with professional development. The PBWIEC offers continuing education credits for professional engineers and landmen. The PBWIEC kicks off with a welcome reception on the evening of Tuesday, February 22, 2022, at the Petroleum Museum. Then the conference runs for two full days, February 23rd and 24th, at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, with more than a dozen conference sessions. The presentations and panel discussions will cover a variety of related subjects, including alternative uses for produced water, the impact of ESG on business and investment strategies, and gaining a better understanding of earthquakes in the Permian Basin. All told, we've packed in close to two dozen dynamic speakers from across Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Washington, D.C., into the PBWIEC lineup. Finally, the PBWIEC offers many personal networking opportunities. There will be ample time between sessions to meet new and old friends. It has been a long 2 years since our 2020 PBWIEC, but the 2022 Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference is promising to be the best one yet. For more information and to purchase your registration, please visit waterinenergy.com. I hope to see you at the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference in February.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Separate exams for couples. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband and I have been going together to the same primary care physician for many years, every 6 months for routine checkups, and sometimes in between when needed. In the past, we always were examined in the same room, with each other present during the exams. At our last visit, our doctor told us he has to see us separately and gave us the excuse that he finds it more efficient to do it this way. I'm not confrontational, nor is my husband, but I'm not comfortable about this and said so, but he still kept us separated. We are both in our late 70s, and I think it's important for us to be together during our exams for many reasons. Can you help us with what we can say to our doc to change his mind? It might be in his best interests for this new policy, but I do not think it is in our best interests. Answer. There are several reasons to be cautious about seeing couples together from a physician's perspective. One is that sometimes a disproportionate amount of time is spent on one person, and while that may be good for the person getting all the attention, the other person's medical needs might suffer. Another is that a person might feel uncomfortable sharing certain medical information in front of their partner. This isn't always the case, of course, but it is a potential problem. I have had cases where one partner admits infidelity outside a visit, but tells me I may not discuss it with the partner. I have also had cases where there is partner abuse. This is so common that asking about it is recommended, but of course this cannot be done in front of the potentially abusive partner. Abuse can take many forms, including physical, psychological, financial, and sexual. Both men and women can be abused, although it is much more common and more dangerous physically to women. Dear Abby, for Thursday, February 3rd. Food fight results in friendship's bitter end. Dear Abby, when a friend of mine makes dinner for invited guests, it's either takeout Chinese food or delivered pizza. Frankly, I am sick of it. Last Thanksgiving, they invited me and several others over for dinner. You guessed it, Chinese food. I told my friend I was surprised and not in the mood for Chinese food, offered my apologies, and left. We didn't talk for 4 months. This past year, I was again invited to Thanksgiving dinner. I declined, and when asked why, I said, "I'm sick and tired of what is being offered." The response was, "Then I guess I'll stop inviting you, and I don't need your friendship." I replied, "Glad we are on the same page." Abby, this friend knows how to cook and could certainly order something different. Was I out of line? I have no regrets. The friendship has ended. Fed up in the West. Dear Fed Up, when someone accepts an invitation to someone's home, rather than criticize the menu, they should be grateful for the hospitality being extended. Were you out of line? The way you phrased your reason for declining was rude. You could have inquired about the menu and asked if you could bring something more traditional. It's fortunate you have no regrets that your friendship with your former host has ended. I'm pretty sure the feelings are mutual. Dear Abby, on Sunday evening, a much older woman I'd never met came to my door saying she was a neighbor and was there to recruit me to participate in a political lobbying event her church was sponsoring. This is not something I wish to do. I tried to refuse nicely, but then she said several times she required my name, email, address, and phone number so she could send me more information as well as an opportunity to pass the information to other people. I asked for her information instead, but saying no thank you and trying to excuse myself to get back to my children didn't lessen her persistence. Eventually, I apologized and closed the door on her. People should not be harassed in their home, even though she may very well be a neighbor in this small neighborhood. How could I have handled this better? No soliciting. Dear No Soliciting, the person who came to your door had an agenda. It wasn't a social call. In a situation like the one that was thrust upon you, good manners did not require you to offer an apology. Frankly, you should have closed your front door sooner. Dear Abby, I'm a 65-year-old woman who has never enjoyed sex. I've had lovers, and I'm a very affectionate person, but the act itself has never been comfortable for me. Now I'm postmenopausal, it's practically impossible. I have never been married, but I want to find someone. In fact, I yearn for a life partner. I'm on dating sites, and my question is, how should I describe myself? It seems most men want sex. Should I include my lack of interest in sex in my profile so they know what they're getting? I don't want to waste anyone's time, especially not my own. But this feels so weird and awkward to address. Everything but that in New York. Dear Everything But, it would benefit you to go online and search for dating sites for people who want romance only, without sex. These sites do exist, and it may comfort you to know that you are definitely not alone. If you do try one, I hope you find the man you are looking for.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.